was there something about the aesthetics of a promontory that, that made it seem worthy of a new university? Tell me why Dr. Shrum decided to be at the top.
I think Shrum was attracted. He had grandiose ideas in all sorts of things. I mean, nearly all Canadian universities had athletic scholarships. They pretended they didn't. What they did was have separate funds and have them administered by the Alumni Association, and all swore blind that they didn't have athletic scholarships. They all did. But Shrum didn't want just athletic scholarships. He wanted a team that would go in the States and win, you know. And so that's why Simon Fraser had athletic scholarships. And I happen not to be an athletics fan. I played a great deal when I was young, but I went to a school where we were taught to despise people who watched. And we spent one afternoon and all Saturday morning at school where everyone played unless he had a doctor's certificate. And games were never scheduled so that parents could watch or anything. And I came out of that tradition. And so I wasn't enthusiastic about athletic scholarships, but I persuaded Shrum that if he was determined, they weren't very much money either, as a matter of fact. I thought we should have an equal number in the fine and performing arts. And Shrum was a theatre buff. Shrum had insisted on the theatre in the first phase, and I wouldn't have done. I said to him one day that I wouldn't have done, and he said, how long did it take UBC to get a decent theatre? Well, 60 years, I think. He said, if we get it now, we'll have it. If we need more academic buildings, we'll always get them, but we'll wait as long as UBC waited. So Simon Fraser's theatre is because of Shrum. And he was sympathetic to theatre. In 1936, in the middle of the Depression, he appointed Dorothy Somerset, the first theatre appointment at UBC, who was a major person in developing drama in Vancouver, not just at UBC. Shrum personally helped move chairs, seats, from the old Alma Theatre into a hut on UBC for a camp for a theatre. And Shrum is often not given credit for that. And so he said, OK, we'll have the same number of scholarships for fine and performing arts as athletics.
So the top of the mountain was part of the grand vision then.
Of course.
Yes. Did it meet any of the goals for the university? I'm thinking of maybe some advantages to being isolated.
Well, of course, there were people who believed that. In some cases, universities were deliberately put on the outskirts. I mean, I was on the board that set up Prince George, and a number of us on the board were really very anxious to have the university in downtown Prince George. Prince George was bound to develop, and we thought if they got the university downtown to begin with, or relatively downtown, they could build around it. But they went to a mountain, and because it was free, you know. Yes. And it wasn't until the community colleges that the provincial government began giving money for land. And
was there any advantage to having so much land? I mean, the university was at the top, but the district of Burnaby also gave all sorts of land.
That's
along
right.
the
well, especially of course, the idea slopes. The idea was that there might be housing developments,
okay.
And
well,
also
was it a sort of endowment then, in a way?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Not like at UBC?
No.
Okay.
Well, and of course, UBC has never profited from the endowment. That's a myth.
SFU did see the lands on the slopes.
That's right.
As a possible way of expanding. Finance, if yeah. expanding and using it right. to right. to finance yeah. its other goals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was also wondering about how the SETI contributed to the university's image. This is part of the grand vision.
Well, what you have to remember from my point of view is that it was a tremendous job being ready for that many students in 20 months. Cowan and I normally went to the office at 6. Cowan would go home and come back the next day with 6 tapes of things he dictated. I very rarely went to bed before 1. Recruiting the first heads of department was an incredibly time-consuming business. And basically, there were so few of us involved in all the beginning that we were going all the time. And I, to be honest, didn't think about Burnaby at all. And that was, I think, partly because I had gone to UBC in 1947, and from then, apart from a couple of years of graduate work in London, I had lived by the UBC campus all my time in Canada. And those of us who came from UBC to Simon Fraser, and there weren't very many, typically realized that commuting from UBC wasn't possible. And a number, like me, moved to the North Shore because housing was good. They were developed communities. The tradition of living on the North Shore and going to UBC over the Lionsgate Bridge was quite firm. So John Ellis, who came from UBC to set up Simon Fraser's teacher training program, simply moved to the North Shore. I moved to the North Shore. You could head of physics, who'd been like me at UBC. At UBC, when I was a student and then afterwards, even downtown Vancouver was difficult to get to, you know. We were very much West Point Grey centered. And my wife and I did look at some property in Coquitlam, but remember the Broadway commute through the mountain, along the mountain, hadn't been built then. So you had to go down to the Lougheed Highway from that, those new developments, and then along, and then up again. So if your viewpoint was Point Grey, you were not only getting away from the centre of things, but you were going further. And we just looked at that route, and it seemed so much easier to get on the Trans-Canada, follow it, go over the Second Nose Bridge, and swing up into Burnaby.
Oh, that would be up Parker Curtis.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
And so it wasn't until we began getting new faculty from elsewhere that really any of the original people looked at housing in Burnaby or Coquitlam or so on. When the new people came, they did. So, for example, Manning Chemistry, Palmer, and his wife, Evelyn, they, just down the bottom of Canada Way, by DL8 Park, they bought a beautiful property, which they still have. And in fact, I think now they've sold bits of it off. And it was the new faculty from elsewhere who started looking. In fact, one of the early deans of arts, a man called Sullivan, who came from Berkeley, had settled out almost to Langley because he was an entrepreneur. And later he retired from Simon Fraser and made a fortune in real estate. So as far as the original Simon Fraser people went, we hardly saw Burnaby. Uh-huh. The president got a place in Burnaby. He was determined on that. And then, of course, they built a house for him on the campus. But otherwise, the people, the original Simon Fraser faculty who came, they were much more likely to look at Burnaby or Coquitlam, especially. Not Surrey very much, but Burnaby or Coquitlam, and buy housing there. They didn't have the kind of previous histories of the North Shore, and we were still, I think, quite focused on Vancouver as a centre, you know. And then, of course, I was still teaching at Simon Fraser at UBC until May of 1965. So I had to get both ways. And for me, it was easier to get from the North Shore than from Burnaby or certainly from Coquitlam.